Welcome to the fullness of time.
Yes.
Welcome to the fullness of time. I want to honor my brother Dean out there and Marshall and Amy and a couple of faces that are near and dear and partnering with me for many, many years. Uncle Dean's my brother in real life. He's a retired pastor and just love this guy dearly. He's my go-to guy when I have those hard questions. Anyway, this is how I start my day. So Phil says it's always on. God is always flowing. His fountain of love is always flowing. So I start my day by just turning this upside down. Now, that's a narrow way in the middle. I wake up like you. I'm empty in the morning. And that narrow way in the fullness of time, because Jesus has found us in the fullness of time, right? Born of a woman, born under the law, poured out the Holy Spirit, calls us sons and daughters of the Most High God. But all of that, when you're just waking up in the morning, you just need to start afresh. So that narrow way in the middle of this fullness of time is Christ. He is the way. He says, I am a narrow way, and few people find me. He didn't say hard, he said narrow, because it was his complete death and complete resurrection. Anyway, whoa, there's the fire triangle. Wow. Man, look at that. Yeah, we'll just look at that for a minute. A couple of announcements just during worship. I felt the Holy Spirit saying, set the stage, bring them to the door. We're going to talk about the door today a little bit. Oh, boy. The doorway that leads to life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, setting the stage, I am not a stage guy. I don't believe there's any performance in the kingdom of heaven. And if we had eyes to see, what's in front of me is an orchestra pit. And normally, the musicians sit in the pit, and then the conductor with his baton goes click, 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 and he gets their attention after they're all warmed up. You're all warmed up from worship, I hope. Yes. So Lord told me about, I don't know, a year and a half ago when Steve Chain was here, and Leslie, and people were kind of coming up and visiting, and I've known Steve for years. I was actually knew him at Grace Fellowship during the inception years, and I was just staring. The pit was open. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, you are a pit musician. Now, if I'm going to prepare the stage, first thing I'm going to tell you is there's no performance today. There's only manifestation today.
Hallelujah.
All right? But that's the narrow way. So in the pit, Clint's in the pit, and you're in the pit. And a pit musician looks at the conductor, the chief musician, let's call him. I'm going to call the Holy Spirit the chief musician today, okay? So if there's no performance, and we all play a different instrument, Lisa yesterday in the encounter, our encounter session was just waking us up to how uniquely different we are from one another. You are a specific instrument. He made you. He threw out the mold. Nobody looks, sounds, and can do what you do. And when Jesus finds us in the middle of our journey somewhere, we all have a testimony, we begin to wake up to who we are in Christ. Danger, danger, don't compare yourself with the person next door. Christ is your Lord. You are his daughter. You are his son. All right. That's that. I may never even get to the sermon. He said, bring them to the door. Show them to their seats. I'm not performing. Your seats are in that pit. The holiness of God clears the stage. He gives you a seat in his presence to play your song. Sons and daughters of fire, sing your song. Amen? All right. Anyway, I'm a retired firefighter. I've been fellowshipping here for a couple of years. Always thought I was going to end up at Bible college and be a famous preacher. And now I'm just a pit musician. I don't know what happened along the way. To God be the glory, though.
Yeah.
So this is a truth from John 3. Lisa and Phil have been taking us through the book of John, just kind of waking us up, you know, to seeing life through the lens of John. You know, and now the Lord is here to open our eyes so we can testify what it looks like to walk through this world looking at life through the sight that God has come and paid a dear price for us. I'm going to give you some context. We're going to be reading from John 3. Some of this is rehearsing what we've already been studying, but and I got to keep my eye on the salt over here, too. He said, I got 30 minutes, so when that gets half full, somebody just wave at me. All right. So, Father, we thank you that you paid the price. We thank you that the Lamb of God receives his reward as we yield our life afresh today. So we pray, Holy Spirit, you would take your word, and you alone who opened it to our heart would be blessed. So we have a story of a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. And there was a song yesterday, a lyric at our encounter session. It says, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Wow. That shakes me up. So I could perform. I could wear somebody else's coat today, but I have my own coat from the Father. When I got home, what did the prodigal get? He got a coat from his Father. And I'm really excited about your coat, which is why I'm going here today. So context, John 3, we'll start with one. That would be number one, Lenore. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, truly, truly, for sure, Amplified Version, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb, be born? Jesus answered, verily, truly, for sure, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound thereof, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Thus is everyone having been born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Verily I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That is your in earth as it is in heaven man. Did you know you are an in earth as it is in heaven man or woman? Right now, today, we see it dimly. That's the price he paid for our eyes to be open. The thing that about 3 months ago jumped out at me, and I've heard a preacher allude to this several years back. In verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. Now, who is we? Who is we? Is it the disciples? Is it the apostles? Who is we? I would suggest to you, the fire's gone. Anyway, I would suggest to you, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. This is the triune nature of God, our Father. I used to say, you light them, I fight them. Now I say, by the grace of God, I'm going to start a few. I really am. Come on, Marshall. So everything seems like it's threes with God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, as soon as the fire finds you in the way, as it did Nicodemus, he had to break him down from his religiosity. He was entrusted with the law, but now he, like everyone else, has to be born from above. Amen. So, this mystery of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, there was a lyric in a song we sang at the encounter session, says, speak to me. Let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart. Let the silence now be filled with your voice. Let the silence now be filled with your voice. He says, be still, and know that I am God. Proverbs says, the beginning of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's a capital K, because only the Holy Spirit can open the scripture to our understanding. All right, now we're going to the door. So John 10. Jesus is so tender, he's the master of parables. So he finds us in this little parable, we're sheep, but there's a huge awakening in this parable. John 10, Jesus, the good shepherd. Verily I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, to Jesus, the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. This I saw this about 2 months ago, and it rocked me pretty good. When the Holy Spirit opens a verse to your understanding, you can read it in three or four other versions, and sometimes you get totally confused. Like, I'll feel the presence of God on a word, and I'll read it in another translation. It's like, whoa, that's anything close to what I was feeling. So I would suggest to you the porter is the Holy Spirit. He's not just some doorkeeper. The door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, to Jesus, the porter opens. And then what happens? And then the sheep, the sons and daughters of God, then the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what things he was saying. So he says, let's try this again. So then Jesus says to them again, verily, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are identity thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Take them to the door. Show them their seat. The scripture says you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is the uniqueness of your individuality before the throne of God that we're waking up to. They shall be saved, and they shall go in, and they shall go out, and they shall find food. Very important, you keep the feast of the Lord. It's the co-union feast of the Lord. The world is hungry for the State of the Union address, which comes exclusively from the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. He gave you a mouth. He said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom that the adversary will not be able to resist. That's what you take to work every day. You don't have to do a lick and stamp scripture verse, but just your countenance, because you've come to the table and you know your way in and out of the presence of your Heavenly Father. And he feeds you a wonderful feast in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the thief here for a minute, a little testimony time, but the sheep did not hear his voice. a stranger they will not follow. So I came to the Lord in about 1974, living in Santa Cruz, married in 74. My brother and I were apprehended by the love of God, by the Holy Spirit. Prior to that, several years, I've always been spiritually hungry. There's been a call in my life. I'm spiritually hungry. And Dean and I, my brother, tried different things. We tried meditation, and Dean got involved in a lot of different things. And I got involved in an organization called 3HO, Happy, Healthy, Holy, 3HO. And I was spiritually hungry. You know, before you judge me for joining a cult, I was spiritually hungry. So all those people at work that are doing all sorts of stuff, love on them. They're spiritually hungry. I think it was Chris V from up north said, we are a triune being. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And there's the triangle's not there. That's all right. I don't need it. So the union, Peter, Paul, and Mary wrote a song. It's called The Wedding Song. It's called "The Union of Your Spirits Here Has Caused Him to Remain. For wherever two or three are gathered, there am I, you know, gathered in my name." Anyway, so I'm living up in Oregon, and I'm a Vietnam vet, and I needed a couple of units to have a full load so I could get the GI benefit. And I go through the gymnasium, and there's a guy with a turban on his head, and he looks really peaceful. I said, "I'm not peaceful. I need peace." You know, so he did the yoga class. It was Kundalini yoga, and I got in there and did my yoga. And he was a cool guy. His name was Lee Engstrom. And I got to know him and talk to him. He said, "Oh, yeah, we're a part of an organization. Why don't you come on over to the house and join us?" So anyway, so their guru was Yogi Bhajan. Come on now, I need the fire to talk about Yogi Bhajan. So I turned one of my bedrooms into a little ashram, and I set a picture of Yogi Bhajan on the table, all right? And I would do my exercises, and I'd finish up, and I'd be in the baby pose, and I was just trying to feel peace. I was trying to stimulate my pituitary gland so that I would have revelation. Fool! Anyway, I did that, and I was very earnest. And so I finished my exercises. My head was on the carpet, and I had an out-of-body experience. And I went into a city. It was a very dark city. And in the vision, there was a large three-bedroom Victorian house. And I was inside this house, multiple rooms upstairs. I could still see the raised paneled doors. And I'm hitting each door, and I'd go from door to door, and somebody'd be sitting in there in a circle, you know, doing all sorts of weird stuff. And I'd run, "No, that's not for me." And I'd go to the next door and the next door. And fear began to fill my heart. I knew I was out of my body, and I didn't know how to get back in. You are a body, you are a soul, and you're a spirit. Whether you're here today, you know Christ or not, sinner or saint, you have a spirit. Your spirit was always intended to be joined to the Holy Spirit. But when you give your spirit away, your voice to someone else, the Lord has some work to do. So I'm running down the hall from room to room looking for the organization I am supposed to be a part of. In a panic, I ran out of the house, and there were some people standing around celebrating a child that had been hit by a car. By this time, I'm terrified. I look across the street, and I see a large, like, European cathedral church and a huge door. And my heart's beating, and I ran across the first door. I cried out, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." I left the center of the aisle I was running down. Boom! Right back into my body. Scared me so bad, I went and got a beer. I mean, dude, I don't want to mess. I'm not strong enough for this spiritual stuff. And it was probably a year and a half, 2 years later, I began to see the fingerprints of how God extricated me out of that organization, because he is a jealous God. So that's my little, a stranger, they, y'all, will not follow, for they know the voice of their God. Amen. Let's do Highway to Holiness. Jesus called his little sheep by name. Case sensitive. He knows your name. And he goes out before them. Now we're in procession. We're in procession following the risen Christ. Oh, this is compliments of Igniting Hope. I did get the permission to use this. I commuted a lot from the city of Mountain View, from Santa Rosa. I go on the highway a lot. And the Lord was challenging me. He's found us in the fullness of time, of walking in the way, driving in the way, speaking in the way, loving in the way, preaching in the way. But I get bumped out of the way pretty easy. And I go, what's up with that? How come I'm not always in the way? And I was coming on the freeway the other day, and I was merging. Have you ever judged people? I rate people how well they merge. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. This person is an experienced merger. All right? So I read this verse, and there shall be there. So first of all, it says, follow peace. I put in prince of, forgive me, with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. The glory of Zion. Isaiah is prophesying in Isaiah 35 about the glory of Zion. He's prophesying about the glory of his bride in the fullness of time, which is you and me and us now and who we will be in the future. He's prophesying, Christ in Isaiah, prophesying about his bride. So I get to be, by the grace of God, with you, playing our instruments, following Christ in the way. And it says, a highway shall be there, a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Now, do you get offended when God calls you a fool? No, it's really a good day because I do foolish things. I get knocked off the road. Okay, so Jesus, now alive from the dead, walking with the two on the road to Emmaus, they don't even recognize him, and they say they're communicating what the headlines are, what the world stage is talking about today. You know, what's going on CNN, you know, and they don't even know that Jesus is walking with them. And then, as he begins to listen to them, he begins to open the scripture, like those little sheep, the sheep hear his voice. Their hearts begin to burn as they walk with Jesus on the road, as he opens the scriptures to their understanding. One of the greatest joys I have is I can go to my brother's house anytime. I can say, Dean, what's God been saying to you lately? And it makes my heart burn because it's fresh, because I know my brother Dean is on the road with Christ. But then it says, whoever walks on the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. So this is the part that really is an encouragement to me. Holiness is holiness. Fire is fire. God is not like fire. God is fire. God is not like salt. He is salt. If he says, consider the lily, then God's the lily today. Where he's moving all the time. The kingdom is never static. He's always teaching. I'm not always listening. He's always on the road. He's always moving. I get bumped off. But he doesn't shame me. When I'm merging, I could get road rage. That idiot. Did you see the way he didn't use his blinker? I carry stuff like that all day long. And all of a sudden, the holiness of God will bring a hush. Is that you need to get back on the way with me. I will give you eternal perspective in the midst of your frail circumstance. And that is the way he's called us to walk in. So, anywho, I don't know how to land this. I really feel that we have a song. You know, everybody has something to say, something to do. And I feel like the one thing he was saying is show them to their seat. And God has reserved a special place at his feast, at the table, for you. And it's people that come from the table with the freshness of who they're partaking of that impact. It's like Phil and Lisa have been challenging us, you know, is this real in your life? You know, are you really walking this road? So anyway, that's my heart. I'm done. Amen. Thank you. Yes. That's right.
Can you pray that over?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Oh, I had something to say that Lisa planted. Oh. This is my story. This is my song. I'm a pit musician. Look upon me all day long. The Father seeks such to be his worshipers. The hour is coming, fullness of time, for you to hear your song and manifest the presence of Jesus in this world. Lisa said something a few weeks ago. She said, do you know the difference between instruction and impartation? That kind of messed me up a little bit. And then she says, the power of the person giving the instruction. And then I said to myself, self, where is the fire triangle? I need to get back in the pit because Jesus clears the floor for such a time as this because he wants to show himself to the world. I hooked the line from a song the other day driving around in my truck and said, Lord, teach me the language of your longing. I don't even know what that means. Teach me the language of your longing. And then I thought of Romans, Paul says, now listen for the Holy Spirit in this. We got to put Paul aside for a minute. I long to see you. Do you long to see me? When Dean gets something fresh, he picks up the phone. I long to see you. I'm packing. I got something fresh. Paul says, I long to see you that I might impart a spiritual gift to the end that you might be established in the presence of the Lord. And when that happens, that we might be comforted together with one another's mutual faith. That is a song. It gives me the chills. Your mutual faith is the whole orchestra. All of you are not, we're not looking at each other. We're looking at the King of Kings who writes the Song of Songs, who's put a new song in your heart, and many will see it in fear. Yikes. It's so individual, but it's so corporate. During COVID, I was part of a little intercessions team. There's an intercessor by the name of Mimi. I don't know if you know Mimi. Anybody know Mimi? Anyway, she said, army of lovers, take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Play your instrument. Make your sound. So that's what I'm going to pray over you. So, Father, you put a new song in our heart. It's unique to each one of us. We thank you, Lord. Someone once said, give the Lamb his reward. Give the Lamb his reward. Give him all of you for all of him. So, Lord, I just thank you for waking us up to you've called us to journey with you on your highway, on your road. And our hearts, as we travel with you, will burn as you continue to open your love, your wisdom, and your purpose for us individually in a corporate church. So I just want to impart your presence, God, in the sweetness of the invitation to travel with me. Know me. In Christ's name, amen.